Welcome to Northwoods. My name's Hope, and I'm so glad that you're here today. You know, it feels like it's been a while since I've been able to say good morning to you on Sundays, so I hope that you enjoyed the At the Movies series, and again, I'm glad you're here today, as Pastor John has a really special message for us. You know, if you've been around Northwoods, you know that something we're passionate about is church planting. We have the vision to see 3,000 churches planted globally through our partnership with the Surge Project, and 20 churches planted regionally here in the Central Illinois area. And so today, Pastor John is just going to unpack with us and share the vision for why church planting matters. I know it's going to be a really awesome and inspiring message for us all today. And I also just want to share with you a few ways that you can get connected this morning. The first, if you're new and it's your first time joining us online, I would love to meet you and get to know you personally. So go ahead and pull out your phone and text the word new to the number on your screen. That'll send me a message and we can chat this week and I can answer any questions that you might have. Now, as always, I want to invite you to join the chat where you can talk to other people who are online, maybe share something that's encouraging to you in the message or worship together, pray for one another, whatever it might be, join the chat and meet somebody new this morning. And if you need prayer for anything, if you click on that request prayer button, it's actually going to put you in a prayer chat that's private with one of our trained prayer team members, and they can just pray for you and encourage you. So click on that request prayer button and then look for the notification that you have been put into a chat with our prayer team. Well, again, I'm so glad that you're here. Let's get ready to worship together.
Northwoods. Let's stand and get ready for worship. Let's enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Let's sing.
Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. Give praise to the Lord. Beside him there's the water. Oh. Give thanks to the Lord. His love endures forever. Give praise to the Lord. Beside him there's the water. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made. Oh, I will rejoice and be glad in it. He brought us from mourning to dancing, from glory to glory. This is the day the Lord has made. So what are we waiting? rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. Oh, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day the Lord has made. Oh, I will rejoice and be glad in it. He brought us from morning to dancing, from glory to glory. From morning to dancing, from glory.
Spirit, move again. your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Welcome. My name is Kurt. I'm one of the pastors around here. I just want to say good morning. All right. Hey, thanks. I appreciate the participation, guys. Hey, you can go ahead and have a seat this morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so glad that you are here. If this is your very first time here at Northwoods, Man, it is great to have you here. But you know what? We'd love to know that you are here and get you some information about who we are and all that. So if you want to, you can text the word new to the number you're going to see on your screen, and we will get somebody to reach out and connect with you, get you the information that you're looking for about who we are and what we do here at Northwoods. More than just all this awesome worship team, man. Can we give these guys another hand for serving this morning? Thank you, guys. Oh, God is good. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, we got some exciting things happening around here. But before I get to what those things are, we've talked about, if you're new, you can text the word new to the number that came up on the screen. If you're already call Northwoods your home church, you guys take out your phones, open up the Northwoods app. If you haven't downloaded the app yet, do so. Lots of information. Everything I'm going to talk about this morning and more can be found on the Northwoods app. So check that out. Open up the connection card. Let us know you're here. Let us know who's with you. And that's a great place that if you happen to have a prayer request, drop that prayer request in there because we would love to be able to pray for you throughout the week as well. So guys, ladies, first Thursday of every month, we have Woven. Mark your calendars. You do not want to miss this. It is an inspiring and encouraging evening where you can learn, you can grow, you can make some friends, you can have a ton of fun. So Thursday, the first Thursday of every month, join the ladies for Woven. You can get more information about that at northwoods.church/women. But guys, it's not all about the ladies. Men in the house today? Yeah, how about dads? We got dads in the house. All right, so guys, check this out. Thursday, October 20th, don't miss this. Date night with dad. Huh? How about a daddy-daughter dance? That sounds like a lot of fun. So Thursday, October 20th. Now, I got to tell you, this is going to be a lot of fun, right? There's going to be dancing. There's going to be snacks. There's going to be surprises. There's going to be all kinds of stuff. It's only $5 a person, but I promise you the memories you make will be priceless. Here's the deal. There is limited availability for this event. So make sure you go to northwoods.church/men and check out the date night with dad. Get registered and signed up right away. You don't want to miss that opportunity. So those kind of events, as well as all of the ministries and all the amazing things that we do around here at Northwoods, would not be possible without your generous and faithful giving. And so we just want to say thank you again for how generous you guys are in allowing us to continue to do the work that God has called us to do right here at Northwoods. And as you know, we have many different ways that you can give and take advantage of using the boxes in the back of any of the auditoriums or on the campuses as well. You can still send in. We still take checks and cash. I know that's crazy, but you know, we still do that. You can text. There's lots of different ways. Jump on the app, go to the online site, and you can give there as well. But it's because of that faithful giving that we are able to do some of the amazing work that we do around here at Northwoods so that God can continue to expand his kingdom right here in our community. So guys, that's all I've got for you this morning. So would you bow as we prepare for God's word today? Father God, thank you again for such an awesome morning. And Lord, that we can celebrate your goodness right here in this house. And so, Lord, we just ask right now, you prepare our hearts and our minds for the word that you have given John as we celebrate the work that you are doing right here in and through Northwoods, Lord. So this is, give us today what you need us to hear. May your words encourage and challenge us through John this morning. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, Northwoods. How's everybody doing? You doing good? Good. Hey, listen, I'm sorry there's no popcorn and soda. Like, I know we were really getting into that. And I'm already looking forward to next year. I'm thinking we're going to do that again, and I've already got some ideas for next year. So we'll have some fun with At the Movies again next year. You know, this last Sunday, I had to run out of here pretty quick because a lot of our team, we're going to be heading down to Dallas to go to the Gateway Church Conference down there. And so I was there for a couple days earlier this week, traveling a little bit, and I came back on Tuesday night, and I got the most fantastic welcome home. And if you have little kids, you'll appreciate this. I got in about 9 o'clock on Tuesday night, and I was tired. Like, traveling just takes it out of me. And so, like, the whole way home, I'm just dreaming of, like, I just want to sleep in my own bed. So I get home, I get my stuff unpacked, and I literally am just about to get in bed, and I'm just, like, dreaming about sleeping in my own bed. And literally, the timing was incredible. As soon as I touch the bed almost, I hear my youngest daughter go, ah, ah, she starts screaming, and she'd been asleep for 2 hours. And I'm like, what the world's going on? We go into her room, puked in her bed all over the place. Welcome home, Dad. And I'm like, yes, I am so happy. But you know what? I was actually glad to be home at that time because I didn't want my wife to have to deal with that all on her own. And, you know, speaking of my wife, I haven't had a chance to mention this yet, at least from the stage. But if you look at my wife, Michaela, and you think, I wonder if she's pregnant, that's because she is. She is expecting, yep. We're expecting our fourth child in February. She's about 20 weeks in now. And don't ask me what it is because Michaela doesn't want to find out until the delivery room. I would love to find out what it is, but you know what? I'm just gonna roll with her and we'll find out in the delivery room. So I'll let you know what we have in February. So anyways, it was a good welcome home, good last week, but hey, I'm glad to be here this Sunday. And just a couple of things before we get started today. I want to first just touch on again the series that we're starting next week briefly. You know, some of you may have seen, we talked about this last week, that we're beginning a series titled, next Sunday, a series titled Biblically Correct, which will explore God's vision for government. And I believe there's great need for teaching in this area. And I want you to understand that in the upcoming series, my primary purpose is not about being liberal or conservative, Republican or Democrat. It's all about recovering a biblical perspective and worldview on government and our relationship to it. Because, you know, I believe we shouldn't be looking at government and the issues of the day saying, you know, how would a Republican think about this, or how would a Democrat think about this? We should be saying, how would a Christian, or how should a Christian who holds to the teaching of God's word view this? And so listen, and listen, I want to say up front, I get it that there might be some that maybe disagree that I should preach on this topic because it might be controversial, could potentially be divisive, and I get that. But I want you to know that when it comes to deciding what I will be preaching on, the filter I use is not, will this potentially upset people? Will this lead to disagreement? Now listen, I hope that doesn't happen. That's not my aim. But that's not my filter. My filter is, what does the Bible teach, and how can I be faithful in teaching that to God's people? And the Bible has a good deal to say about government. So we're not going to shy away from that. So I hope you'll join us over the next 4 weeks as we recapture God's vision for government and our relationship to it. And then last thing before we jump in today, I want to just take a moment and pray for the state of Florida. You know, there's many people joining online who attend from Florida. There are people here who have friends and family in Florida. There's some of you who are snowbirds, right? And you're getting ready to, you head down to Florida every year. Some clapping. So, hey, we just want to take a moment and let's just pray for our brothers and sisters in Florida and just lift up the state to the Lord. So come on, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you are always in control, Lord, that you are sovereign over all. And so, Lord, we lift up the state of Florida to you. We lift up our brothers and sisters in the state of Florida. Lord, we pray that you would just be their provider, that you would take care of people. Lord, we pray protection around people there, and we pray that you would just rebuild, you would restore anything that was lost. And again, we just pray your protection over the people there, and we lift that state to you as they look forward to rebuilding and recovering some of the places that have been lost in the months ahead. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, let's talk about today. Today, I want to talk to you about our vision as a church. Not only what our vision is, but why it matters and how each of us play a role in seeing that vision come to pass. So our vision as a church centers around planting churches globally and locally. So let's start by talking about the global front. You know, we have a vision to see every chair in this auditorium represent a church planted globally. So that would be 3,000 churches planted globally. And we do this through our partnership with Surge, which is a global church planting movement. And if you look around the room, or look on the backs of the chairs in front of you, you will see gold placards. And if you've ever wondered what those are, they say the name of a church and the name of the church planter. And so those gold placards represent churches that have been planted globally. And I'm excited to announce that just a few weeks ago, number 1,000 was planted. Guys, that's amazing. That's awesome. And, you know, my dad, our founding pastor, and my mom, they actually had the privilege of planting number 1,000. And today we currently stand at 1,012 churches planted in 67 countries. If you guys on the media team could throw up that map up there on the screen, you'll see anywhere that's green is where we have planted churches so far. So we've planted in 67 countries. That's amazing. And what's super impressive is that this church, the people who make up this church, have given over $3 million to church planting, the church planting effort. And because of your generosity, that's why 1,012 churches have been planted in 67 countries. And there is no other church in the Surge network that has given more. That's something to be proud of, guys. Again, give yourself a hand. Thank you. That's amazing. And as we celebrate 1,000, let's take a look back at number one, the first church plant that we helped fund through Surge, and let's hear from the executive director of Surge, Joel Stockstill. Check out the screens.
Well, I'm so grateful to God this hour. God been so wonderful to us here in Liberia with the Young Church. And Pastor Amos Casemini the Senior. I want to register our thanks and appreciation to the Norwood Church through their financial assistance and their prayers. We are so grateful the church is making mark here in Liberia. Over the 5 years, such projects have been so grateful to us. They have been so wonderful to the church through their finances and through their prayers. Everything going on so wonderful with us. May God be praised. Thank you so much.
Hey, Northwoods Church, I want to take a moment and just celebrate what God has done through your extravagant generosity. In the last 5 years, since 2017, you have planted over 1,000 churches with the Surge Project. That's an opportunity to give thanks to the Lord. I tell you, my heart is just overflowing with thanksgiving today to your ministry and to the Lord for what He's doing around the world. At Surge, we are so privileged to be partnered with incredible churches just like you to do the Great Commission in a way that I don't think has ever been done before. And we're excited to do it alongside of you guys to grow together, reach the world together. So today, congratulations on 1,000 church plants in 5 years. You guys rocked it. Congratulations. We're so glad to be partnered with you.
God. That's awesome. And if you want to be a part of helping to plant churches globally, you can do that at northwoods.church/surge. cost $3,000 to fund a church. And we've had incredible stories of families coming together, you know, students pooling their birthday money and Christmas money to help plant churches. And here's the great news. You might say, well, I don't know if I have $3,000. You can also help crowdfund a church. So you can give 50, you can give 100, and we pool that money together with other people, and this goes out to help plant churches. And you get that what's happening is you're sowing into the kingdom. It's planting a church somewhere else across the world, and it's impacting lives for Jesus Christ. And that is amazing. And so again, if you'd like to be a part of that, it's northwoods.church/surge. Now, that's the global front, is our vision to see every chair represent a church. But on the local front, we have a vision to see 20 churches planted in the U.S. by 2030. And to date, we've planted 2, Pathway Church in the Quad Cities and the Ascent Church in Galesburg. So we've seen some wins, but I really feel that we really need to get moving on the local front. And we're taking steps to do that. I believe that we're getting very close to having our next couple of church planters who will go out of here and plant soon. So that's our vision, okay? Every chair a church and 20 churches planted locally here in the U.S. by 2030. But now I want to talk to you about why we believe church planting, why we believe so strongly in church planting. And I want to talk to you specifically about why we believe locally in the U.S., why it's needed. Not only did Jesus say in the Great Commission, go and make disciples. This is one of the ways we go and make disciples. But I love this passage in 1 Timothy 3. The Apostle Paul had just finished writing to his young protege, Timothy, about how the leaders and those who make up the church should conduct themselves. And he went on to say in verse 15, he said, if I'm delayed, you'll know how people must conduct themselves in the household of God. And then he went on to say, this is the church of the living God, which is the pillar and foundation of truth. So there's a couple things he says that I want you to take note of. He says, the church of the living God. The church is the church of the living God, and it's only a living God who can infuse life and hope into communities and people. And you know, today, people are feeling discouraged. People are feeling hopeless. And I love what Ray Johnson, who wrote The Hope Quotient, said. He said, when people lose hope, they lose their ability to dream for the future. Despair replaces joy, fear replaces faith, anxiety replaces prayer, insecurity replaces confidence, and tomorrow's dreams are replaced by nightmares. Listen, we want to plant churches that will bear witness to the living God and help to infuse life and hope into communities. So he said the church is the church of the living God. But then he went on to say the church is the pillar and foundation of truth. So let's talk about the pillar and the foundation. Think about what pillars do. I love what John Stott said in his commentary on this passage. He said the purpose of pillars is not only to hold the roofing firm, but to thrust it so high it can be seen clearly from a distance. So understand, when the people of God gather, we have a function in that we display and hold the truth of God's word high for all to see. And in a culture where a staggering number of ideologies and faith options are being presented as equal and valid and true, it's the church's job to hold the truth high, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we can be saved. We hold the truth high. So the church is the church of the living God. It's the pillar. The church is the foundation of truth. So let's talk about foundation. This speaks to the idea of the church being responsible for holding the truth steady against false teaching and cultural lies. And this is just my opinion, but in my opinion, the church is the last defense against the complete moral breakdown of this country. I love how theologian Wayne Grudem put it. He said, if the church chooses to be silent about the moral and ethical issues we face as a nation, it will leave a moral vacuum and it will not be long until the adversaries of the gospel, Satan and his demons, will rush in and influence every decision in a way that is contrary to biblical truth. The church is the church of the living God. We hold the truth high. We hold the truth steady, and we say, nuh-uh, this is the truth of the word. And so we're going to be about planting churches that uphold the truth of the gospel and bring hope to communities. That's why we're about planting churches. So now let's talk about how each of us can be a part of helping to see this vision come to pass. You see, it's not only the lead planter of a church plant that plays a role in this vision. It's easy to think that it's just the lead planter. But I think there's some things that church planting will require of all of us moving forward. So this morning, with the rest of our time, I want to look at a passage of Scripture found in Matthew 9, verses 35 through 38. If you want to follow along in your own Bible, you can. It'll also be on the screen. So Matthew 9, 35 through 38, let's read together. It says, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, speaking about Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. So here is Jesus teaching. He's teaching the good news, healing every disease and illness. And just a side note, you know, here at Northwoods, if you're new with us, just visiting, we believe that the things that happened in the Bible, physical healing, still happen today. We see it happen regularly around here. And so let me just throw this out here. If you're here this morning, if you're joining us from home, or if you're here, if you are suffering from sickness, disease, I want you to come down front after the service. We have a prayer team here, and we would love to pray with you. If you're joining us from home, we have a prayer team online that would love to pray with you as well. And so that's after every service. And again, if you're suffering from something today, let us pray with you. We believe God still does work miracles. God still heals people. So we would love to pray with you. So it says, Jesus is traveling, teaching, healing. And it goes on to say, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. Now, in this passage, I see four ways that each of us play a part in moving the vision of planting churches forward. And let me just say at the outset, before we jump into these, that you might look at some of the ways and begin to ask, well, how does me actually embodying this, doing this, play a part in planting churches? And here's how, because a church isn't just a building. A church is people. The people make up the church. It's a group of believers. And so if we're going to be a people who plant churches, there are certain characteristics that of people who plant churches I have found. And so if we're going to plant churches, if we're going to be a group of people who do this, there are certain characteristics and ways that we must embody. And so the ways I'm going to show you in this passage are the ways of people who come together to plant churches in the name of Jesus. So here's the first way. Way number one is see the need. See the need. Look again at verse 36, which says, when he saw the crowds, when he saw, emphasis on the saw, he's seeing something. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So Jesus had eyes to see the need. It says the people were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, most of us, including me, didn't grow up taking care of sheep. So when we read this, we're gonna be unaware of how much sheep need a shepherd, just how much they need a shepherd. Philip Keller wrote a book titled A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. And in it, he used his experience of caring for sheep to shed light on the shepherd sheep theme that we see in the Bible. And he had this to say about sheep. I thought it was enlightening. He says, sheep do not just take care of themselves, as some might suppose. They require endless attention and meticulous care more than any other class of livestock. He said if left to themselves, they'll follow the same trails until they become ruts, graze the same hills until they turn into desert, wastelands, and pollute their ground until it's corrupt with disease and parasites. Thought it was interesting as well. He said that those who care for sheep must constantly be on the look for what they call cast sheep. This means a sheep who is rolled onto its back and can't get up. I mean, if you just go look at a picture online of cast sheep, it's pathetic. Sheep lay down and somehow get on their back, and they're just all four legs up in the air, can't get up. And if they get left that way for too long, they die. And so you got to constantly be on the look. If one of your sheep's missing, is where is it? Uh-oh, if it's upside down, you better get over there and flip it back over. Sheep desperately need a shepherd. And in the same way, people, we all need the good shepherd, Jesus. And so I think we each play a role in church planting. It starts by asking the Lord to give us eyes to see the need around us. I'm reminded of this every week as I meet with people who on the surface appear to have, you know, you would think, oh, they're good. They got everything together. But as you talk with them, you find that their world is broken. And it's only Jesus who can heal a broken world. And just like there was a need in Jesus' time in Galilee, there is a great need here in our country. You know, one recent Gallup poll on the state of the church in America mentioned this. While the precise number of church closures are elusive, a conservative estimate is that thousands of U.S. churches are closing each year. Tom Rainier, who's the founder and CEO of Church Answers and does much research on the American church, had this to say: 8 out of 10 of the approximately 400,000 churches in the United States are declining or have plateaued. The Barna Group also recently released data on the next generation, which should concern us. They said the pattern is indisputable. The younger the generation, the more post-Christian it is. Post-Christian means just the next generation is picking up and living out values and worldviews that are out of alignment with God's word. Now listen, it's certainly not all doom and gloom for the church, for Christianity. The Lord will be faithful to build his church. And there are many statistics I could pull from that would say there's some really good things happening in the U.S. But I think if you look around, we can see there is a great need for local churches who are anchored to the word and moving in the power of the Spirit. And so we need to ask the Lord, God, open our eyes to the needs in our community, in our city, state, our country's people, our country people's worlds are broken. And they must know that they can experience forgiveness, freedom, purpose, and hope in Jesus Christ. And so if we're going to be a church, a people that plant churches, it starts with being a people who see the need in those around us. I would ask you to begin praying. This is a way I pray a lot. Asking the Lord to give you eyes to see, not just in the natural, but on the supernatural level in people's lives. Many times you can look at people and go, oh yeah, they're good. They got it together. But if the Lord gives you eyes to see, you can see that there's, again, people's worlds are broken. And so we need eyes to see what's going on below, beneath the surface. So Lord, give us eyes to see the need. And then here's way number two, respond in compassion. So we see the need, we respond in compassion. Look back to what it says. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So the word compassion, the Bible speaks to the idea that when we see someone else's situation, we are moved to act on their behalf. Biblical compassion moves us. And you know, I've found that it's a whole lot easier to be indifferent towards people than to move towards people with compassion, especially over the last couple of years, and especially with people who tend to view things differently than me. I find I constantly have to ask the Holy Spirit to soften my heart towards people. People are not our enemy. There's just people who need to know Jesus. Now, I want to clarify here what responding in compassion entails. I think this is important. Because of the day and age in which we live in, many well-meaning Christians are being led to believe that meeting people's immediate needs, food, clothing, financial provision, shelter, and on and on and on, and alleviating their suffering in this present world is the ultimate goal. Listen, that's a good thing. And the Bible does talk about meeting people's immediate needs, but the gospel is concerned with meeting people's greatest need, which is the forgiveness of their sin and the salvation of their soul. I love how Erwin Lutzer put it in his book, We Will Not Be Silenced. He said, our heart's cry should be for people to believe the gospel and be saved. If compassion motivates us to alleviate suffering in this present world, how much more should compassion motivate us to share the good news to alleviate their suffering in the world to come? Responding in compassion is about more than just doing things for Jesus. It's also about letting people know what Jesus has done for us. So again, let me reiterate, it's a worthy and noble thing to do something in the name of Jesus to help meet someone's immediate need. But that's not where it ends. We have to remember that addressing someone's immediate need is always a bridge to addressing their greatest need. That's the forgiveness of sin and the salvation of their soul that only Jesus can offer. And this is why we have a vision to plant churches. You want to plant churches that will not only address the immediate needs in a community, but also address the greatest need in a community. So it starts with seeing the need and responding in compassion. And then here's way number three, live with expectancy. Live with expectancy. Look what Jesus went on to say in verse 37. It says, he said to his disciples, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Jesus said, the harvest is great, workers are few. There are a great number of people who are ready to respond to the gospel. So that's why I say we should live with expectancy, live with the belief that every day there are people who are ripe to respond to the gospel. Now, on one hand, like I said, the statistics show that our country and the younger generations are moving away from Christianity. And while for some of us it might lead to discouragement, I think we should see it as a great opportunity. That just means the opportunity to reach more people for Jesus is greater than ever before. You want to know what gets me excited about this church? I think I've shared this with you before, but the neighborhood that God has placed us in, this church, gets me excited. You know, last year I reached out to a group that helps provide demographic reports for the area that you live in. And I had them do a report that encompassed a mile radius. Basically, if you standing here today, if you draw a circle, a mile radius around this church, what are the demographics? What are the households like? And their report showed that it is probable, because they look at where people are from, and then they say, here's probably the religion they hold. They hold to the faith they hold to. It's probable that there are up to 256 households in that mile radius around this church that hold to a Hindu faith. Then it went on to say that there are 120 Muslim households within a mile radius of this church. The harvest is great, and the Lord has placed this church here in this neighborhood for a very specific reason. And I believe we are going to see a harvest in the days ahead of many people from different faiths, different countries coming to know Jesus. Listen, that's just our community. And while the demographics might differ in other communities, the similarity is that wherever you are, the harvest is great. So we're going to live with expectancy and trust that God will do great things through us in the churches we plant. So we have to see the need, respond in compassion, live with expectancy, and then let's talk about the fourth way. It's super practical. Pray for workers. Pray for workers. Look back to what Jesus said. The harvest is great. The workers are few. So pray to the Lord who's in charge of the harvest and ask him to send more workers into his fields. So the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So what do? Pray that the Lord would send workers into, it says, his field. This is where it has to start. Prayer. Before there's ever harvest, there is prayer. Now, I also want to be clear here as well, because I think we can read this and say, oh, okay, pray for workers to go out and forget that every single one of us who have surrendered our life to Jesus are also a worker. Yes, we're prayers, but we're also workers. If you know Jesus, yes, you should pray for work. Pray for workers, but don't forget, you're also a worker. We are people who work with Jesus. And while your work might not look like going across the earth and planting a church, going across the nation and planting a church, I think for each of us, it starts with just saying, I'm going to go across the room. I'm going to go across the row. Let me just ask you, if you were to just kind of look around you at the people in the, you know, the immediate rows next to you, how many people in those rows do you know their name? You might know some of them, but there might be some people sitting right next to you every Sunday that you might not even know their name. I'm guilty of this. Starts with just going across the room. Then it continues with going across the street. That's your neighborhood, the place you live. Yeah, we want to go across the world, the nation, but let's bring it back in right here. Go across the street. How many of us just come home, you know, you come home from work, go home, close the garage door, I'm good. I've been convicted of this as of late. A lot that I live in my neighborhood and I barely know my neighbors. And so I decided to, for me, I don't know if this was the best choice, but I decided to go to an HOA meeting and my wife said, John, don't volunteer for anything. And I texted her like 10 minutes later and I said, they just nominated me to be president of the HOA board. What should I do? And so I ended up being president of the HOA board. Now listen. Now, yes, I'm concerned about the neighborhood. I want certain things to look a certain way. But you know what? For me, it's just an opportunity to get to know people. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to get to know people. And you know what? As I have got to know some of my neighbors, it's just amazing how you can live next door to someone and never truly know what's going on in their lives. And again, I'm amazed as I get to know people. That again, if you look below the surface in people's lives, people are hurting. And so, yeah, we're going to go across the world planting churches. Yeah, we're going to go across the nation planting churches. But let's start with being a people who say, you know what? I'm just going to go across the room. I'm going to go across the street. Yeah, there's like probably less than 1% of us will go across the nation and plant a church. There might be some of us who do that. There's going to be some of us who join teams to do that. There's going to be some of us, right, who we give financially to that. But here's something each and every one of us can do is go across the room, go across the street. Are you involved with people in this church, people in your neighborhood? We're all workers, and workers go. Workers go across the room. They go across the street. They go across the nation. They go across the world. We're workers. But you know what? We're also prayers. And God asks us to partner with him in reaping the harvest through prayer. So we must pray that the Lord sends more workers into the field. And as we pray, the Lord will be faithful to work with us and raise up and send out workers into his fields who will lead people to Jesus. Now, I've shared this story with you before of a man named Jeff whose life was drastically changed to this church, and I love his story. I want to share it again. He wrote in and said, I'm a recovering alcoholic that had lost the desire to live under the burden of my own sin. I'm 58 years old and have now been sober for 2,974 days. I had what many would call everything. Loving parents that raised me in the church, great success in many things. Finance degree from a reputable university, was a two-time NCAA All-American in track and field, had rapidly advanced up the corporate ladder at a local power company, had a loving wife and two wonderful kids, but I never developed a relationship with Jesus Christ. Alcohol, narcissism, affairs, rehabs, DUIs, divorce, loss of respect for my children, family and friends led me to run out on my life. So one day I left my car, threw away my cell phone, and boarded a train to New Orleans with a suitcase full of vodka and a pocket full of cash with no plans to continue living. After about a week, I ran out of alcohol and money without somehow dying. And one day I woke up in the bushes by a train station in New Orleans with just enough money to purchase a train ticket home. Back home, my father had been watching and looking at watching the Amtrak schedule to see, just he would show up and see if I would ever be on the train back. And as I boarded the Amtrak and pulled back into Galesburg, my father was standing on the platform, waiting with arms to receive his undeserving and still drunken son. I got off the train, he embraced me and said, I love you and I want to help you. This was 14 years ago. Soon after, I surrendered my life to Christ and I attended a service at Northwoods in Peoria. Next, I attended the very first service at Northwoods in Galesburg on Easter of 2011. And through the message of Northwoods, a seed was planted and went to work. I got my chair and began every morning with prayer and Bible reading. I became a sponge for the Word of God. And as I started living according to God's will instead of my own will, amazing things began to take place in my life, one by one, little by little. And today I have an amazing wife of strong faith, a strong, healthy relationship with my children, family, friends, and employees. And looking back, I cannot imagine the person I was. No matter how difficult the troubles, and there have been many, I know that God is by my side and will walk me through. That's amazing. And that's the kind of thing that God does regularly through his church, his people. And this is why we're going to plant churches. And so I want to give you just a couple of key takeaways from today. Number one, I want you to begin praying. I want to ask you to begin praying that the Lord would help us to identify the next two church planters who will go out of Northwoods and plant. And for some of you, I would ask you to consider whether or not that's you. So be praying that the Lord would help us to identify the next two church planters. Another takeaway, if you know a place here in Peoria or around our country that is in dire need of a church plant, we want to hear from you. In fact, I would encourage you to stop by. There's a table out in the lobby here in the Peoria campus. You'll see a table that talks about our Northwoods School of Ministry, and then you're going to see three signs out there that talk about planter, place, plan, a strategy for planting churches. I want you to stop by that booth. If you've got a place in mind, you're like, I'd love for you to consider this place. We'd love to hear from you. And then here's number three. If you'd like to be a part of a team that helps on the next church plant, we want to hear from you as well. In fact, in the process of planting churches, we will need groups of people who are willing to work together over a period of 8 to 12 weeks and will help to discern where the Holy Spirit is leading the planter and the Northwoods plant to. There will be opportunities to go and serve at church plants through work projects. In fact, this summer, we just took a team to Denver, to Reunion, Colorado, to help with the church out there that we've adopted. And so just three takeaways, all right? Pray the Lord help us identify the next two church planters. If you know of a place We'd love to hear from you. And hey, if you want to be a part of that plan, and part of that plan is a team that goes out and helps to discern where is the Holy Spirit leading us, I'd encourage you to stop by a table out in the lobby. We would love to hear from you. Now, today, as we close, we're going to close with communion. So if you have your elements, you can grab those now. And what a great way, as we talk about church planning, to remember as we close why we do this. It's because of what Jesus has done for us through his death, through his resurrection. And you know, I was looking at Matthew chapter 26 this morning, and it's the Last Supper. Jesus is with his disciples, and it says, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. So again, the bread represents Jesus' body that's been broken for us. But I want you to understand, when you take and eat, Jesus said, take and eat, this is my body. When you take and eat, what you are proclaiming is that I am receiving the benefits of Christ's death in my life. I am receiving today everything that was purchased through Jesus' death on the cross. I'm receiving healing, redemption, freedom, purpose, the forgiveness of my sins. I'm receiving the benefits of Christ's death to myself. He said, take and eat. This is my body. Let's do this together. It says in the next verse, you can peel back that layer on the cup there. It says, then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. And Jesus' blood is for all. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sin. You just thank Jesus in your heart right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for your blood that washes me white as snow. Thank you, Jesus, for the forgiveness of my sin. And I just ask you even to come before him right now and say, Lord, is there any sin present in my life that I need to repent of? Any places where I'm walking out of alignment with you? And again, if the Lord just reveals anything, you just bring that to him and say, thank you, Lord, that on the cross, you've forgiven all my sin. So I bring this to you again, and I choose to turn away from it, follow you. Jesus, we thank you for your blood, forgiveness of sins. Let's partake together. Now, church, as we close, we stand, pray together. So, Lord, we come together today, and again, we thank you for what was purchased for us through your life, death, and resurrection. And Lord, I pray you would set our hearts on fire for people. Because it's your desire that not one would perish. And so, Lord, I pray that you would again just set our heart on fire for that vision to plant churches that will go out and proclaim your message in this nation around the world, Lord. We pray you'd raise up workers, more workers who would go into the fields, Lord. I pray if there are people here in this congregation whom you have called to go and plant a church someday, Lord, I pray you'd begin to activate that call in their life. And Lord, I thank you for how you've resourced the vision through this church. We ask for more of that, Lord, and we just pray. Again, it's all for your glory, Lord. We pray in every way that you would provide the provision for the vision that you've given us as a church, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you for all that you've done so far and all that you're going to do in the days ahead, Lord. And I just pray blessing over every single one of your people this morning, those watching at home, those here in the room. Lord, we thank you for what you've done this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, church. Great to have you here today. Come on, are you thankful for being here today? If you need prayer for anything, come on down front. We would love to pray with you and hope to see you back next Sunday as we kick off a new series.
Well, like Pastor John said, if you need prayer this morning, our prayer team is standing by. Just click on the request prayer button and someone will join a chat. You can look for the notification and they would love to pray with you. I want to be sure to invite you back next Sunday as we are starting a brand new series that's going to last for 4 weeks, and it's called Biblically Correct. And throughout that series, John is really going to outline for us what the Bible says about government, what it actually says about government, and how we as Christians can come around that and have conversations that matter in a world that is just getting so extremely polarized. So I know that that's going to be a very practical series, a very timely series, and I hope that you will join us for all 4 weeks of that. So we'll see you next Sunday on any of our campuses or right back here online.